Yeah, they're going to speak. I just can't hear them because there's somebody else yelling. He's interrupting their testimony. I want to hear their testimony.
Are we in recess, Mayor?
Just for a couple of minutes.
You guys will listen to this, but you won't listen to me. I'll leave.
You could have signed up to testify, but you did not.
I could sign up to testify and be heard about police brutality, or I could work for a petition, circulate a petition for you. Call you daily, I can go out and get the vote out for you.
Please leave.
I'll sign it first. Sorry.
All right, we're back in session. I apologize.
Hi, my name is Nico Hanny. I've lived in the Portland metro area for 10 years, and I do not believe in giving the police more money as what have I experienced in the city of Portland. On July 6th, I was sexually assaulted, left inside of a house for 48 hours, and drugged with methamphetamines, and I had to call an ambulance where they had alerted the police. And when I started to explain to the police what had happened to me, I started to experience severe homophobia from the police, where they were telling me that what had happened to me was my fault, and that they had told me that if I wasn't gay, that this wouldn't have happened to me. And then when I'd went to the hospital, to Emmanuel, another police officer there, I'd asked to speak to them because they thought I was delirious because of me being drugged. They would not allow me to leave the hospital, even though I was completely coherent and was just asking to have a rape kit performed on me. And they were being absolutely disrespectful to me and had been really brutalized to me and homophobic. And as someone who's been partaking in the queer community in Portland since I was 11 years old, I am completely at an awe that the Portland Police Department was being homophobic to a queer 19-year-old after a sexual assault was performed, and there wasn't even a police report done after I'd asked them to report this. I do not believe that the police deserved to have a pay raise when I had gone to them as a person who is an Oregon resident and a Portland City resident. I don't understand why they're trying to pay them more when they can't even deal with a person who had been drugged for 2 days straight. I really don't understand why you're trying to give them more money when they didn't help me, and I wasn't even delirious. I had just been through one of the most traumatizing experiences in my entire life, and the police were just rude to me, and I wasn't rude to them. I was not being aggressive. I was trying to explain to them as best as I could, because I was drugged, about what had happened. I do not believe that they deserve to be paid more money when they wouldn't help me.
Thank you. And I'm sorry for your experience. Thank you for being here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, commissioners. We have about six minutes to noon. If my name was Lars Larson, Chief Outlaw would schmooze me and stab the mayor in the back. But I'm the bridge crane. Since we're only talking about police lieutenants, the hysterical performance of Chief Outlaw on the Lars Larson show will have to wait until I make it on time for the right comments. I appreciate the mayor and those of you who took note of my concern about racial disparities and inequities in different bureaus. Unfortunately, as we've talked about before, that's not attached here. There's nothing... unfortunately, we deal with specific legal issues. So this contract, which is much less worthy of approval than the one that Laborers 483 brought forth, is not the place for us to see the charts that tell us how far behind the lieutenants' ranks are in meeting the diversity and inclusion expectations we have for this city. As other testifiers have brought forth, it's in the national news. It's on the international news, not just lieutenants. But if you look at the faces of the Portland police in all the international news coverage from August 4th and whatnot, you'll have a hard time finding a woman. You'll have a hard time finding anyone that isn't a man that's white. I don't have the proof that the riot squad is a white racist cult. But if the standard is preponderance of evidence, it's already been proven. So why, in her testimony to little white bro Lars Larson, Chief Outlaw dances around these issues and instead thinks she's some sort of superheroine for autonomously smashing ice. you know, we knew it was hard to fire Frashauer. We know that Kruger can put Nazi paraphernalia in a tree and be exalted beyond lieutenant to become the captain of the vice. I'm sure there's no racial enforcement in vice just because the captain, Herr Captain Kruger, of the vice department is out there persecuting communities of color and turning a black, the European kindred and other white gangs are running drugs. We just had a woman talk about being dosed with methamphetamine for a rape. We're not having any real progress about stopping the European kindred and other white groups that are trafficking drugs because we have a very dubious person at the head of the vice department. Somehow leapfrogged through the lieutenant. I mean, you know, lieutenant's rank. So personally, I don't think just firing Chief Outlaw is a solution. We could, you know, talk about the turnover of chiefs of police since Rosie Sizer. But y'all need to step up your game. Otherwise, we should just elect nobody because there seems to be no accountability. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, both of you. Anybody else?
That's all who signed up.
Very good. Any further?
No,
the list just closed.
Anybody else? He wants to
speak.
Richard, come on up. Come on up.
Write.
Come on up. Okay, the list is closed. Come on up, Richard.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
you. How are you doing, Richard? Thanks for being here.
Hello, Mr. Wheeler.
Hello.
And City Council. City Council, in my travels, I've been to Mexico, and I have partial family there. And here's the thing, Mr. Mayor, you know, in the society, you know, we obviously know, you know, there's, you know, the haves that have money and the have nots. And folks, you know, unfortunately, you know, I have a little bit of money and I have a house. And there are folks that don't have a house. And this society that we are in, to a certain extent, we've been into, and you know, like I have a little bit of respect for police to a certain degree, and there's things that really disturb me. You know what I've. And my memory was that, you know, immigrant families are being separated, and people laugh, and white people don't understand. And yet we have Nazis, you know, parading around in our street. And, Mayor, you remember what happened the last May Day when people broke stuff up? And maybe I don't want to see this, but people are going to feel the urge to smash windows and break stuff, you know, at will, because they think City Hall and they think what's going on when they see white supremacists, you know, and stuff, you know, freely roaming about, you know, roaming, you know, come and they see the police protecting these white supremacists, you know, going around, and there's never been in a time where I've wanted to haul off and punch one of these young white supremacists. And Mr. Mayor, you know, my friend, the lone anarchist, I don't know his face, but he has given, you know, a warning, you know, what the next uprising is going to be if shit continues to go down, you know. And I hope, you know, people rally around the wagons. They don't need Joey Gibson and his little Nazi gang. His little Nazi gang. He's just a little monkey show for everybody to see. If the police had any respect for people, they would let us get in there and crack some heads, y'all. Because if these white nationalists were let loose, they would crack our skulls without any question. And unfortunately, that's the only method they know is bust their heads before they bust our heads. Thank you.
Thank you. So this is a first. No, we're done now. This is a. Is there any further discussion before I move this? This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading.